everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast. It has been a while, but the Mavericks are back, and so we're back. It makes sense. The Mavs are starting their play-in schedule. They've done two scrimmage games, and then they have the regular season restarting, and they go into the playoffs.
So what do you think now with the first two, scrimmage games with the Lakers and the Pacers? Have you seen anything that makes you get excited or makes you nervous, or do you not care because it's scrimmage?
I mean, honestly, it's still the Mavs. Like, they're the same team they were when the last time we watched them, which means for the most part, they're super fun to watch and they have some flaws, but they're a young team, so we're just going to enjoy the season.
So how far do you think they will go? Obviously, it's not a guarantee that they're actually in the playoffs. They have to win two of these eight regular season games to finish the season in order for them to qualify to even be in the playoffs. So, but because it's only two out of eight, let's just go ahead and say that they're in. Barring right. some ridiculous situation, they will be in the playoffs. How do you think they're going to fare?
I mean, it depends on the matchup, honestly. Like, if they get the Clippers, I think that's probably an out. Even the Lakers also, I think that's a first-round exit. Honestly, anything outside of that, I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them. Now, obviously, you know, the lower you go in the seeding, there's less of a surprise if they beat them. Like, you know, the better teams, that would be more of a surprise. But my point is, like, the Lakers and the Clippers are the only teams that really scare me. Like, I think the Jazz, the Nuggets could easily beat them and the series would be over. And, like, why did I even think there was a chance they could win? But I do think there is a chance, a small chance, but there's a chance. So, I mean, it depends on the matchup.
Yeah, I think right now they're scheduled for the Clippers. I think it's just a bad matchup.
Yeah.
Because not just the talent that the Clippers have. Obviously, they have Kawhi, Paul George, Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell. Their team is stacked.
So much depth.
But they have a lot of veteran leadership. They have a lot of guys that have been in the grind for a long time, so they know how to win. Yeah. They know how to play.
They have a good coach.
And that's just not a good recipe for a young team.
Yeah.
In fact, that's really a bad recipe.
That's a sweep.
Yeah. They're not going to get swept.
I mean, I'm not that the Mavs suck, but I just think a veteran team like that is going to come in and be like, we get it, you guys are young and cool, but we know how to win.
I don't think it would be a sweep, okay, but I think the Clippers would win handily. I think the Mavs might be able to get two games in there, steal some, but really the series will never be in question that the Clippers are going to win. I actually think they fare better against the Lakers because I just don't think the Lakers are built for a long playoff run. Hmm. Only because outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis, they just don't have a lot of talent. They don't have a lot of depth. They don't have a lot of shooting, and I think that's going to ultimately hurt them deep in the playoffs. I don't know if the Mavericks would beat them in a series, but I think they would play better against the Lakers than they would against the Clippers. On the Lakers, they don't have anybody that can stop Luka. There's just no lockdown defender.
Well, you don't think LeBron
First of all, LeBron is the most overrated defender
in
the league. He's not a good defender, and they're not going to put LeBron on Luka.
I mean, I wouldn't say he's not a good defender.
He's not. If you watch, he's not a good defender. Like, he doesn't try on defense.
Well, okay, sometimes, yes. I'll, that's
so,
true.
But they're not going to put LeBron on Luka and wear LeBron out in the first round of the series.
True. Yeah.
So I think they would do better against the Lakers than they would against the Clippers. But outside of that, yeah, I think they have a chance of beating anybody.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Lakers have more question marks. They have guys like Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo. Now they added J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters. They have Alex Caruso.
You just named like 15 washed-up guys.
Yeah, and I guess that's a, you know, that's a less nice way of saying it. Like, when I say question marks, it's like, I don't really know what they're going to do in the playoffs because, yeah, J.R. Smith could get on fire and be amazing and be the reason why they win a championship, or he could be the reason they lose. Same thing with, like, Rondo and Dwight Howard. So it's like, there's too many question marks. I don't really know what they're going to do. Now, that doesn't mean that all those pieces don't come together and they don't win a championship. I don't know that for sure. Whereas with the Clippers, I feel like just like mentally, talent-wise, skill-wise, they have solid pieces that mm-hmm. you know what you're going to get. And I think it's more certain.
Yeah. When I think with the Lakers, obviously against a lesser opponent like the Mavericks, it may not hurt them.
Yeah.
But they don't have enough scoring, playmaking outside of LeBron and Anthony Davis. And we saw even in a scrimmage game, I know it's a scrimmage, so it doesn't really count that much, but you've seen it throughout the season. When LeBron's not initiating the offense, they really struggle to score. Mm. And that's going to hurt them deep in the playoffs when every team is a really good defensive team. You have to have multiple guys that can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
And that's my only concern with the Lakers. But I think the Mavericks would do well against them. Whether they beat them or not, I wouldn't pick them, but I think they would. It would be like a San Antonio-Dallas series that we had a couple years ago with Vince Carter and Calderon and Dirk. I think it'd be a seven-game series.
Yeah, but the Clippers, I just really don't want that matchup. Because, I mean, yeah, they might get a win or two, but I think it is definitely they're losing that series because the Clippers are just so freaking good.
Well, it's really a bad matchup for the Mavericks, too, because they have so many wing defenders to throw at Luka to wear him out, and you know, I think
and
that
their physicality, the Mavericks struggle with physical defense,
and of course they got away with a lot, like,
true,
because they have that quote unquote reputation for being a physical defense. Refs were like, oh well, they're just a physical team, but it's like, no, that's a foul.
Like you know
it doesn't matter whether they're a physical team, it's a foul, and they get away with a lot of that kind of
stuff. Well, because they have guys like you said that have a reputation. Patrick Beverley, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, even Harold, you know, to a certain extent, these guys are known as elite defenders, and that's part of being an elite defender is being able
calls.
To get away with fouls.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's easier to guard a guy. So the Mavericks really struggled with that. Luka really struggled with that. And so I think that's a bad matchup. And even Rick Carlisle, after this scrimmage against the Pacers, he talked about their physicality on the defensive end and how it bothered the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. And that was a trend that we saw. So, yeah, the Clippers I'm not excited about.
And it took the Mavericks to start the season. Obviously, they were running teams off the floor because of their offense. And then teams started playing physical with them. And they struggled for a while. And then towards the end of the season before the whole COVID thing. They were starting to come around with playing against that physicality, so they might have to have another adjustment. What do you think of the new starting lineup?
I really like it. I really, really like it. I wrote about this. I did a Mavs primer, things that you need to remember about the Mavericks before the season restart. And that was one of the things I talked about was this new lineup. Now that they're missing Brunson and Courtney Lee and obviously, you know, Dwight Powell with his injury and then Willie Cauley-Stein being out, they're playing a five-out offense or a five-out, offense with their starting lineup. And I think that losing Brunson and Courtney Lee and Powell and Cauley-Stein, that hurts them in terms of depth. But that's another story. Like, just in terms of that starting lineup, I really like it. I mean, and we talked about this, I don't know if you remember, during the season, how we wanted them to play that lineup. Mm-hmm. Like, we wanted a five-out offense. And then there's pros and cons to it. Like, defensively, it kind of struggles. But I really like it. It's just so much shooting. It's so much spacing. I think that's so good for today's NBA, but also for Luka. Like, just the kind of point guard that he is, I think it suits him so well, which means that the Mavericks are better. Because when Luka is better, the Mavs are better. So I really like it.
Well, I definitely agree. I think the having Curry and Hardaway, I mean, their worst three-point shooter is Dorian Finney-Smith. And maybe not percentage-wise. I think he's right at the same percentage-wise as Porzingis. But, I mean, let's be honest. The reputation, you're going to run out on Porzingis before you run out on. And even the Jazz, whenever the Jazz play the Mavs, and Gobert, instead of guarding Porzingis, he guards Dorian Finney-Smith.
Yeah.
And they dare Dorian Finney-Smith to shoot threes. But because of that spacious offense, it opens up the lane.
Mm-hmm.
And Curry is a really, and Derek Harper likes to say to everybody, he's really underrated when it comes to playmaking. So him and Luka being the primary playmakers, having Hardaway, who has the ability to just get his shot up really, really quickly and jump over the defender.
Yeah.
And then Porzingis, obviously. So I like it offensively. Defensively, they may have their challenges, but in today's league, who doesn't? You know, there's very little lockdown defenses, and really compared to 90s lockdown defenses,
it's not.
It's not lockdown defense. So you just have to be able to get a stop when it matters.
Well, that lineup, among lineups that played 50 or more minutes together, They were fifth in net rating in lineups on the Mavs. They were the fifth best net rating lineup, but they were fourth in defensive rating. Now that's fourth for the Mavs. So the Mavs are not a great defensive team, and that one is fourth overall. So it's not a very good defensive team. But again, the Mavs are not good defensively ever. So it's like, it's almost like a why bother kind of thing. Like this is the best lineup you can put out there. And that, you know, it's not a great defensive lineup, but it's the best one you can put out there. I really like it.
And if Curry's hot and Hardaway's hot and Porzingis is hot and Luka's hot, I mean, they're going to win that game.
Yeah.
I think what it also helps with is if Hardaway shot isn't dropping, you still have Porzingis and Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Curry's shot isn't dropping, you still have Hardaway and Porzingis. Or if Porzingis, whatever. So you always have shooters, high elite level shooters on the court. And so I think that's really going to help them. Now, again, depending on the matchup that they have, who knows?
Yeah, and it's not just shooting. I mean, like obviously these guys, I don't know if I'd say they prefer to shoot, but in my opinion, they maybe prefer to shoot. Like that's kind of what they tend to do. But they're also good at, like you said, you know, driving the lane and creating shots for others. Luka obviously can do that. Seth Curry is, as you say, a very underrated playmaker. Like he can do that. Hardaway, like not so much, but he can move well. Finney Smith really shouldn't put the ball on the floor ever. But you know, Porzingis, he can also, you know, pump fake and drive it to the rim. So it's not just the shooting, it's the slashing, the off-ball movement.
The space.
Yeah, it's all of that that I think makes it so deadly offensively and really works to Carlisle's strengths as a coach. And I know that he obviously preaches defense because that's how you win championships. I know it's important, but his strengths as a coach offensively, I think that lineup really fits it really well.
Yeah. So if the Mavericks, who do you want to see in the first round? Like if you could pick your first round matchup, who would it be? Who do you think they would be to move on to the second round?
Okay, I'm going to... So we have Clippers, Lakers, and then in whatever order, we're going to have Nuggets, Jazz, Rockets,
Thunder.
Mavs, Thunder.
And then the eighth
Who's
seed.
The eighth seed? Well,
I don't know.
We don't know yet. Okay. I mean, honestly, probably the Thunder. Now that's unlikely because they'd have to move up pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of that, because it's not very likely, I would say the Rockets, which is also probably not very likely.
It's actually a lot more likely than you think.
I guess if it was 4 or 5.
Yes.
Yeah. So I would say the Rockets. And I know they have a lot of talent with Westbrook and Harden. I understand all of that. Those are two MVPs. But just their play style. I think that if you're going to beat a team, if you're going to take away a team's strengths, I think that team is a little easier to take away their strengths. Like when they're on full force and they're on their game and they get whatever they want, yeah, they're probably unstoppable. But I think they're easier to game plan for.
Yeah, well, teams have found a way to beat James Harden in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it's because they just run ISO. And he dribbles, and then he shoots. But in the playoffs, he gets trapped constantly to where he can't ever really get a quality shot up. He turns the ball over a lot. He shoots highly contested shots, not very good shots. And so teams have found a way to beat him. They don't change their offense. They continue to run the same style. He does not come off screens or curls or anything like that consistently enough. And so, yeah, he struggles in the playoffs. He also doesn't get the same calls, which I think is a little unfair to him. Because if you're going to call it
four-mile
season,
how is he supposed to know? Yeah.
He doesn't get the same calls that he gets. But I think they found a way to beat him. And that is, since they're not going to change their offense, just trap him, get the ball out of his hands, make somebody else score. And Westbrook, I mean, doesn't have a reputation for making quality decisions, good decisions in the playoffs.
Well, and also his shooting. There's always the idea, and I think last year he had moments where he was a better three-point shooter. But the thing is, like, for his career, he is not a very good shooter, you know, much less, like, a three-point shooter. So I think that's a problem. Now, in last year's playoffs, because of the way the team started playing Harden, which was, like, basically from the side or from behind... you know, he never took a mid-range shot, and that's why they did it, because they knew he was never going to take a mid-range shot. So if they could take away the three-point shot and then take away a layup by having a guy down low, then that left the mid-range open, which normally it's like, yeah, you don't want to give a guy an open shot, but he was never going to take it, so that was why it worked. But there was the idea if he developed a floater or a runner, that it really shuts down that defense mm-hmm. completely. And he kind of started developing that as series went on. And so I wonder if he's worked on it even more and if now he's able to combat that defense.
We'll see. The thing with Westbrook, to go back to him, is when he's confident, his shot's going in.
Yeah.
And whenever...
But he's streaky.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. When you're going against a lesser opponent, you know your team is better. It's easy to be confident. And so, like the Mavericks, he may be on fire.
Yeah.
He may hit the shots when he needs to hit them. And he may make plays when he needs to make plays because he feels confident because they think that they're better than the Mavericks. But that ultimately comes to an end when you play a better team. Mm-hmm. The pressure is on a little bit more, and now you have to make these in order to beat this team. He doesn't do very well with that historically. Yeah.
Well, and also those better teams, their defense is going to be mm-hmm. better. So he's not, like, some of the stuff that he's able to get.
Yeah, force him to shoot jumpers.
Yeah.
And crowd him when he goes into the lane. He'll shoot some wild layup.
Yeah.
Bounce it off the backboard to half court.
So we talked about the Mavs offense. We talked about their starting lineups. One other trend that we saw this year was their problems in executing in the clutch.
Mm-hmm.
And that got really frustrating at times. But I think also we had to recognize that they're just a young team that's kind of part of it. Yeah. And I shared this at one point. The Mavs clutch rankings, they were like 28th. Their offensive rating was 20 in the clutch. Offensive rating was 28th. Defensive rating was 17th. Net rating 25th. And then I went back and looked at the Oklahoma City Thunder team from 2011 because mm-hmm. it was kind of the same thing. They were this young team that had stars, but they were still very young. That season, the Thunder were 21-24 in clutch games. Their offensive rating was 28th in the clutch. Net rating was 22nd. That's almost identical to what the Mavs had this mm-hmm. year. So again, I think it's just a symptom of being a young team. However, I mean, just naturally, that's really going to hurt them in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. Obviously, if you're playing against a team, you're just better. It's not going to affect you. But
yeah.
It's when you are in a close game against a better team, mm-hmm. you can't execute and they can.
Yeah,
it's gonna hurt them and probably will end up being why they lose. Like they even, let's say the Clippers, they may be in every single one of those games and yeah. it may be a hard fought series and then
end,
they lose 4-1 in the whole series.
Yeah.
But every game is close and it's just because they couldn't finish. They couldn't close the games out.
And I think the Lakers might be the same thing. Like if those games are close, I don't see the Mavs winning close games against the Lakers mm-hmm. because even if whatever kind of question marks they have, they're definitely veterans, and they have guys like LeBron and Davis who can execute in the clutch. And even, you know, if you have Rondo out there, he's not going to make a mistake, even if he maybe doesn't have a certain skill.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a discussion for another pod whether LeBron and Anthony Davis are actually good in the clutch.
Well,
I mean, let's...
Yes.
So...
I mean, Davis... Okay, so my thing with Davis is that I am willing to give him credit because he obviously has a ton of skill and has led teams to the playoffs and all of that. I get that. But he hasn't won anything. Like, this guy didn't win, not Rookie of the Year, MVP, deep runs in the playoffs. Like, he hasn't won anything. So,
and yet he's a top five player.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I'm willing to give him credit. I do think he is a great player, and I think that's part of why the Mavs will struggle against them. But, I mean, yeah, I guess there's a limit to how much credit you
can give
him.
That's the media for you. You know, yeah. they will give one player
so much credit.
All the free
passes
in the world.
Even though he hasn't done anything.
All the free passes yeah. in the world. And then other players, they have to earn it with their blood. You know, like they have to win everything in order for them to be considered a great player in the league.
Well, it's like Dirk, he could have ended his career as he did without a ring, and he wouldn't get any credit. Like,
people would say Anthony Davis is a better
player
than him.
Yeah, he could finish with 30,000 points, six mm-hmm. all-time scoring, and all these other accolades. Like, people don't even talk about how many lists he is top 10 in, or the only guy to do this and this. But without a ring, he wouldn't get any credit. And I get it. Like, winning a championship definitely changes things, and I'm on the side of how if you don't win a ring, then you were only so great, really. But like before that, with Anthony Davis kind of being still, I guess not early in his career, but he's still kind of a young player, he does get a ton of credit for not having done anything yet. Yeah.
So on a side note, I watched The Last Dance.
Yeah.
And so all those players in the 90s.
Are you listening now to all of the Last Dance recap podcasts?
No.
Okay. Because everybody was doing that.
I haven't listened to any of them, and so this won't be a recap.
Okay.
But I will say I changed my stance on all the players in the 90s that lost to Jordan.
Yeah.
I give Barkley a title. I give Karl Malone and John Stockton a title.
Oh, you're just giving it to
them. Yes. At least those three players deserve a title. That Bulls team was the greatest team to ever play. Anyways, that's all I have to say about that.
Well, can I also say something about
that? It's
your pod. It's, no.
It's our pod.
It's our pod.
Okay, edit, move on.
Okay. I agree with that because, especially with Stockton and Malone, I mean, if you think about it, it's not like they just... They faced the Bulls multiple times, and it wasn't like the Bulls swept them or like it... I mean, those were long series, seven-game series. And, I mean, it was a matter of, like, one play.
It was a six-game series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It was a matter of, like, one missed free throw, or Jordan makes a buzzer... I mean, like, a series-winning buzzer beater, you know, where if he misses it, then the Salt Lake City, the Jazz win. It's like... So, yeah, I give you
that. So there were so many... shots that won the series for the Bulls that if they missed, maybe they don't win those series. I don't know if any other team has had that many clutch buckets to win against the Suns. They were down in game six. I don't know, late in the game, they were going to lose, blah, blah, blah. Paxson hits a three and they win the championship. And it's like, you know, that happened so many times. Yeah. It happened against the Jazz. It happened against so many other teams in the playoffs. But I don't want to do a recap of the Last Dance.
Okay, just one more thing.
Let's do a recap of the Last Dance.
About how you were saying of like so many crazy shots or just clutch baskets that went in. At one point, I think I found the same thing. I came to the same conclusion. And so I actually made a video of... what if, like all these what ifs.
Yeah.
And the title of it was like, what if Michael Jordan never won a championship? But the point of it was to go through all of these huge series that they had that eventually led to a championship. And in all of them, there was like one thing that happened. And it's like, man, if that didn't happen, then they lose. And has no rings.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy how much, you know, in the 90s, like, you know, we were born in 88, so yeah. Jordan was when we were kids. Obviously, we knew who Michael Jordan was and everything like that, but we didn't know all the details of every single one of their playoff runs and all their rings. So to go and watch that, it was kind of cool to see, and then also to see how much other players on the team hit big shots. And part of that is because Jordan elevated his teammates. He made them be better than what they were, and to recognize their role, and to, like with Steve Kerr recognized he wasn't a star, but he was going to work as hard as he could to fill the need that he was assigned to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he worked as hard as he could to fit that need.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, that's enough with the Last Dance. We're not recapping the Last Dance.
Okay. One more thing.
Oh my God.
Like what you said about how Jordan made his team better, just Jordan in general was so great. It's like people have these debates of who's better, LeBron or Jordan. Or Curry or Kevin Durant or Kobe, all these players, and they just say, oh, I think Kobe was, or I think LeBron. And it's like, dude, look at Jordan's numbers.
They're
like,
not even close.
Look at his numbers. Look at his scoring numbers, his assists. Look at his shooting. His scoring efficiency was insane. I mean, I think people, they know Jordan, and they know what he did, and they watched him, but you just look at his numbers. Like, look him up. And I know numbers aren't everything, but there's a certain
point. He had the numbers and the accolades.
Yeah, there's a certain point where the numbers are so big that they are something. Because it's not, like, just one little thing. There's just so much. So, anyways.
Yeah, going on the numbers, I don't know. And I know we're kind of rambling now at the end of this pod.
Well, you know, whatever.
But one thing I want to bring out. Let's stop saying Luka's second year is comparable to LeBron's.
It's not.
It's not.
It's better.
It's not even close.
Not even close.
Like, LeBron's second year was really good. But Luka's second year blows LeBron's second year out of the water. It's not even close. So let's stop saying it compares. It does not. Just to put LeBron's name in there, not only the basic stats is it better, but the advanced stats, LeBron's second year is so much less than Luka's. It's getting frustrating to hear that, man, he's putting up numbers that only LeBron in his second year. No, he's better. LeBron never put these numbers up, okay? Let's chill with, let's say, I know you want to say LeBron's name, but LeBron's name does not belong with this subject.
It's funny because when I did that video on is Luka the greatest NBA rookie of all time, when I started that, my initial thing was he better than LeBron? Like, that was really my baseline. And then I was like, well, and then I'll look at all rookies too. But when I looked at, compared LeBron's rookie year to Luka's, it was like not even a conversation. Yeah. I was like, I have no video here because it's so much better. It's not even worth talking about for more than 30 seconds because it's so obvious. So in that video, I eventually, like, I compared him to all these other NBA greats who actually did have great rookie seasons. Now, like, LeBron did. His rookie season rookie was year. Very good. Yeah. But, you know, compared to Luka, and then in the context of other NBA rookies, LeBron is actually not even up there. I mean, there's so many other great rookie seasons. And then Luka is obviously, you can watch the video to see, like, ultimately where he lands. But, yeah, I agree with you. Well,
that's going
to
be the problem for Luka. His whole career is going to be compared to...
And I don't know why.
Well, because he's 6'7", and he plays the point guard.
But LeBron... I mean, if LeBron, he were 6'3", quote unquote, plays point guard, but he's not a point
but
guard.
But also, his idol was LeBron, and the numbers are similar. The rebounds and the assists.
Numbers are similar because Luka's a point guard. Yes. Of course, he averages that many assists.
Obviously, if Luka were 6'3", they'd be comparing him to
Jason. Well, like, or yeah, maybe like, you know, a Jason Kidd or Steve Nash.
Yeah. So, but there's no comparison.
He's actually
right now
more like Steve Nash
than
LeBron.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I think that's pretty much it. I was going through the Mavs primer article that I wrote, just kind of getting up to speed, and we covered most of it. One other just kind of random thing that I wanted to talk about from this scrimmage that we just watched, the Pacers. In my kind of like recap article, it was three questions I have after this whatever game. One of them was, does this show how valuable Kristaps is to the offense? Because he didn't play, and Curry had an amazing game in their first scrimmage. Hardaway was okay. In this game, both of them really struggled and really sucked. And does that show that Kristaps, his gravity and geometry on the court, I mean, does it open up things so much for other players that, you know, whether they succeed or don't succeed is really up to Kristaps more than maybe we realized.
Yeah, I would say, what kind of game did Maxey have?
A good game.
He had a really good game.
He had a really good game.
Why? Because he's not getting guarded the same.
Yeah.
You know, Porzingis doesn't get the same open shots that Kleba gets.
That's true.
And that's because his defender, they just don't respect Kleba.
So
the
defenders
same way.
Then went to Curry and Hardaway.
They can feel the paint a little bit more. And so, Kleba hit a lot of threes. Mm-hmm. And if he went his whole career averaging 20 points a game shooting threes, then he would get that respect that Porzingis has. But a lot of that, you know, Porzingis doesn't get... he gets open shots because Luka can find open shots for him and the offense that the Mavs have. But the frequency, he gets way more attention than Kleba gets. And that's because Kleba's guy was sagging off of him, and it probably impacted Curry and Hardaway. But also, I think that it was a scrimmage, and they just really weren't that into
it. No, I think there's a lot to it.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding, because it's a scrimmage. Well, that was like at one point when I was... It was a close game, and they weren't fouling, because I was like, you got to play the free throw game now, because there was only a minute left.
Nobody wants to extend this game. They want it to be over.
Yeah, well, I was just saying. Yeah. So anyway, that was just a side point. I hadn't really thought about... I mean, obviously, we know that Porzingis the attention that he gets from the defense opens things up for other players. But I guess I just hadn't thought about it in that context. I mean, I don't even know if that makes sense, but it was an interesting point. I think it kind of showed even more Porzingis' value.
I think it hurt their defense more than it hurt their offense, though.
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, yeah, their defense is never good anyway, but it definitely makes a difference.
Yeah, and Porzingis can save you a couple of baskets that Kleba can't, and that may help you ultimately at the end of a game.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
Nope.
Okay, that's all for this episode. Thank you for watching, and thank you for still being here. I check our subscriber count or follower count and all that. We actually haven't lost any subscribers or followers, which is pretty crazy since we haven't posted in 4 months. But anyway, thank you for being back and thank you for listening. There's a lot of new content on the website, DallasHoopsCast.com. There's that Mavs season restart primer. There's game recaps for these two scrimmage games that we've had. That video I talked about was Luka the greatest rookie ever. That video is on there. So make sure you have that site bookmarked or follow us on Twitter so you don't miss the new content. I'm at @_SydneyMyers. The site is at @DallasHoopsCast. Martin is, I don't know what you are because it's been a long time. What are you?
On Twitter? I don't even remember
what my Twitter handle is. Is it @MartinLMyers?
I guess so.
I think it's @MartinLMyers. If not, follow that guy, whoever that is. He probably needs followers. But yeah, that's it. Thank you for listening. And we'll talk to you guys in the next episode.